the fine Halliburton can probably survive.
Balance your life with dollar signs. Tune into Marketplace Money this weekend for a look at the issues affecting your wallet. Whether it's investing, renting an apartment, or sending your kid off to college, we'll help you navigate.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Stock in Halliburton is up more than 3% this morning. This after the oil services company admitted it destroyed evidence connected to the Gulf spill in 2010. But the fine will be $200,000. And the company says it will not face criminal prosecution for the act. However, Marketplace's Dan Gorenstein says the admission could mean the company will pay later in court.
Halliburton recommended to its client, energy giant BP, that they use 21 so-called collars to securely install a well pipe. BP went with 6. Halliburton's models showed that there was little difference, and that's the evidence Halliburton made go away.
Destroying evidence, in my view, it's really a cut above the other charges.
Fadel Geit is a senior oil analyst at Oppenheimer. Geit says he's not surprised that Halliburton tried to cover its tracks, particularly given the magnitude of the catastrophe.
It resulted in the deaths of 11 people and the worst environmental disaster in history. So a company like Halliburton will try to distance itself as much as possible.
Today, BP probably has a big smile on its face. Stanley Reed, who co-wrote the book In Too Deep about the company and the oil spill, says Halliburton's involvement bolsters BP's court case.
I think it will make it look like BP was not the only company at fault.
Reed says BP is facing a payout of anywhere from several to $20 billion in an ongoing federal suit in New Orleans. Halliburton's admission could potentially save BP billions. I'm Dan Gorenstein for Marketplace.
Much in the same way that the big budget flop, RIPD, had moviegoers heading for the exits in the last week, municipal bond investors have been doing much of the same thing. New data from Lipper finds that $1.25 billion was withdrawn from muni funds in the last week. Let's check in with Howard Cure, Director of Municipal Research at Evercore Wealth Management in New York. Mr. Cure, good morning.
Good morning, David.
I would be tempted to blame the example of Detroit, the biggest municipal bankruptcy ever, for those nerves about munis. What do you think?
Certainly, Detroit does not help. But that exodus had started well over a month ago before Detroit declared bankruptcy. And it was really driven by increasing interest rates and concerns of losses to current bondholders.
So you see this as part of the general story this summer of the Federal Reserve tapering away from its bond buying, making, right, existing bonds less attractive as rates on new ones go up.
That's correct. But remember, municipal bondholders, many of whom are just retail investors, and frankly get spooked when they read headlines about situations like Detroit.
But the thing is, municipal bonds could be in for an exciting ride going forward, depending on how Detroit plays out in bankruptcy court.
It really is up in the air because there's very little precedent about how these type of bankruptcies would be handled in federal bankruptcy court. So when those questions are answered, we'll resolve some concerns or maybe exacerbate some of these concerns.
Howard Cure at Evercore Wealth Management. Howard, thank you.
You're very welcome.
Marketplace covers the world of economics. Are you ready for some Freakonomics? We're partnering with the team that writes about the hidden side of everything for a regular Marketplace Freakonomics story, podcast, and more. Just go to FreakonomicsRadio.com.
New York has waited nearly 100 years for a new subway line along its 2nd Avenue, delayed by everything from the Great Depression to the city's near bankruptcy in the 1970s. Construction on the line is well underway now, but for businesses in the construction zone, it is a mess, Marketplace's Mark Garrison reports.
I'm standing on 2nd Avenue right across from a number of longtime small businesses, but I can't really see them. 2- and 3-story temporary construction buildings are blocking the storefronts and taking up parking. Jeremy Schaller's store is back there. He's open for business. Some neighbors aren't.
There was a restaurant that just went out of business on 84th Street. It was tough, and he couldn't make it. And at the end, he had to just close up.
He's the third generation of the family that runs Schaller and Weber. They've been selling sausage and specialty food for more than 75 years, from when the neighborhood was largely German-American. Business has dropped 20% each of the last 2 years.
We've cut back our staff. People have retired, and we just haven't had a need to replace them.
The Metropolitan Transportation Authority has wrapped construction fencing with bright banners urging people to shop. It's also doing something very unusual.
Okay, we're going into the tunnel, guys.
That's the MTA's president of construction. He's leading locals on tours deep underground so they can see for themselves why the job takes so much time. Down here, the cavern's immensity is breathtaking. There's earth-moving equipment with tires the size of people. An army of hard hats is steadily drilling, digging, and sometimes blasting through New York's unforgiving geology. You can catch a glimpse of it through a giant hole in the ground in front of Delizia 92, a longtime Second Avenue pizzeria. Owner Joe Pecora took that underground tour.
When I went down, I was pretty wowed.
He's got a new appreciation for the work happening there, but business is still down.
We used to have a lot of foot traffic, so when the fences came up, you know, it was like you being in a jail, basically.
He's looking ahead to the subway opening and bringing higher foot traffic. The trick is hanging on through the tough times, something other stores couldn't do. In New York, I'm Mark Garrison for Marketplace.
And the trend in theme parks is the VIP pass. People with means can pay to cut the lines and otherwise get the special treatment. In Florida's Legoland, the price list for the new VIP experience has just been released. $445 to get in for kids, more for adults. So two kids plus two parents costs $2,280 for a day if you add in the extra Lego water park for everybody. If you don't mind being treated as a commoner and stay out of the water park, it's $66 for adults, $59 for kids. As a further alternative, you could stay home and build all that Lego you already have. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.